Welcome to Awaken to Grace. I'm Chad Roberts. I'm your Bible teacher today as we come to the end of our study of chapter 6 of the book of Hebrews. You know, we've been in a fantastic series, walking our way all the way through the book, and we're calling this series An Anchor for the Soul. You know, today is our 30th sermon just out of the book of Hebrews so far. And I hope that you're walking through it with me. If you've missed any of our teachings up through chapter 6, well, as always, I invite you to download my free mobile app. It will be such an encouragement to your faith. You can download it by simply searching Awakened to Grace wherever you get your favorite apps, or go to my website, awakenedtograce.com, and there you can study the scriptures right along with us. Because, my friends, how does faith come? You know, I love when people come to church. I love when people sing good gospel worship songs, but those things don't bring faith. Do you know what brings faith? The Word of God. That and that alone. So what does the scripture say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And that's why we are so committed to teaching the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. Well, I'm so glad that you're listening today as we conclude chapter 6 in this sermon that we are calling Anchored in Faith. Let's enjoy God's Word together.
Hebrews chapter 6 today. Look with me in verse number 16. I want to call today Anchored in Faith. Anchored in Faith. Now, we began chapter 6 with some really hard words. Chapter 6 is a difficult chapter. It's got tremendous interpretive challenges. But we had to go through those difficult sermons. I think one of the most important sermons the Lord has ever allowed me to speak was a few weeks ago, a sermon called Faulty Faith. Since preaching that sermon, I have led a number of people to the Lord privately. Faulty faith. We had to examine ourselves. We had to examine our lives. We had to examine our faith like a fire inspector would examine our building and would examine our wiring. You and I need to examine our faith to see if it's genuine or not. If it is a simple religious faith or if it is saving faith. And what we said, the goal of chapter 6 is not to get you to doubt your salvation. That is not God's will for you. That's not His desire for you. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Chapter 6 is about gaining. It's about laying hold of. It's about obtaining full assurance of your salvation. So, if you're someone today, you don't have full assurance. If you're someone who you worry, what will truly happen to you the moment you die? You worry what it will be to stand before God. You worry about the sins of your past. You worry, do you make the cut? Are you good enough? Will God really accept you? Friends, I want you to hear the heart of our Father in Hebrews chapter 6. And as I have studied it verse for verse, line upon line, word for word, I have found it to be an absolute treasure chest of assurance of salvation. Look at verse 16 with me. For people swear by something greater than themselves. And in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchanging character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. It's by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Oh, what blessed scripture that is. In which it is impossible for God to lie, that we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement. See, friends, the book of Hebrews is not to get you to doubt your salvation. It is to encourage you in it. That we might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Can we say amen to that? If I were you, I would highlight, I would underline, I would circle, I would asterisk, I would put in parentheses, I would note that phrase in which it is impossible for God to lie. Amen. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that has gone, that has entered into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest, and what's that word? Forever. Circle that word. In the order, after, I should say, after the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, let us rightly divide these words of truth. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, what you desire us to know in this text for this morning. Bless the reading. Bless the preaching. Bless the hearing. Bless the applying of the Word of God to every life today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to note, remember so far through our study, how I have loved all of our contrast. And again, I want you to note a contrast. Verse 16, it says, when people swear, they swear by something greater than themselves. And in all of their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired, now that's a key word right there. I want you to think about this today. What is God's desire for you? What does God wish for you to know out of his word? How does God want you to live? I'm telling you right now, if you are a believer today, that you have trusted in Jesus for the full salvation, for the forgiveness of your sins, it is not his will for you to doubt your salvation. And so God gives us three things in this text. We saw 2 weeks ago when we were in our passage here, we saw that God, number one, gave a promise. You remember he gave it to Abraham? And he used Abraham as the great example. And we saw back in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, if you and I are in Christ, then that means we are the seed of Abraham. And thus, the promise of God applies to us just as Abraham and his descendants were heirs of the promise, so we, the church, are now heirs of the promise. And that if God kept his promise with Abraham, oh, I just can't get into all the Israel stuff right now. Oh, I want to so bad. I've immersed myself in it. Oh, there's so much. Call me later and we'll talk for a while. Because Sadie's sick of hearing it. But God gave Abraham and the children of promise an eternal covenant. that has nothing to do with their actions, but has to do with God's character. You and I are crafted in to that same promise. We are heirs of God's promise. And God says, I'm going to show you three things that will give you full assurance of salvation, full assurance of hope. Number one, I give you my promise that if I have given an eternal covenant to the children of Israel, we're going to get into it in many months in chapters 8 and 9 and 10. We're going to see now there's an even better covenant that Jesus Christ has given us. Amen. That now we are sons and daughters of God, joint heirs of Jesus Christ, heirs of God. There's a promise given to us. And you and I can just look back over the history of Israel and we can say if God kept his eternal covenant with his people, he'll keep it with us. Amen. Because it's based on God's character. Amen. God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And the point of my text to share with you today is that if God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, the point is he guaranteed it with an oath, and it is impossible for God to lie. That's why you can take every promise out of God's word. And when Satan lies to you and Satan says, well, God isn't going to do this and God won't fulfill that and you're not good enough and God's lost his love for you and God's angry at you. No, you can go right to these scriptures and go, no, no, devil, it's impossible for God to lie. Amen. He guaranteed his love for me with an oath. I have the promise of God. I have the oath of God. It is by these two things. It is by these two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Friends, that's the greatest assurance of salvation you could ever hope for. So what does he say? Note this. Here's my contrast. God is not like humanity. When people make an oath, we, humanity, swear by something greater than ourselves. So help me, God. When God made an oath, there's no one greater to swear by. So look in the verses above. He swore by his own name. Friends, do you know what he's saying regarding our salvation? Do you know what God is saying regarding our hope? God is saying, if I don't fulfill it, if I drop the ball on this, God is saying, then I would cease from being God because he swore by his own name. Why? There was no one greater to swear by. Look at the contrast between people and God. So here's the assurance. We have the promise of God. We now have the oath of God. And that's why he says, so when God desired. Okay. Let me wrap my head around this. God wants to show me a sinner. Fallible. Depraved, helpless, without God and without hope in this world, the scriptures say. Me who would love darkness over light. Me who is ensnared by Satan to do his will. Me who is a child of wrath and disobedience. And yet God would desire to show more convincingly to the heirs of promise. See, when you read it in the verses above, which we've already studied, what God is saying is just as he wanted to show Abraham, he wants to show even more convincingly to the heirs of promise. What does that mean? Say amen if you're with me right now. Oh, you're going to want to write this down. You may not be a note taker, but you'll want to note this. Abraham had but only one promise from God. Your Bible has over 7,000 promises. And the scriptures say that every one of them find their yes and their amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What does that mean? Abraham had but one. You and I have thousands. Why? Because God desires, what's his desire for you? Full assurance of salvation. That you would be so fully convinced that God is who he says he is, and God will do exactly what God says he will do. Oh, I want that kind of faith, don't you? So when God desired, I can't get over that word. Oh, it just jumps out at me to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise. Then what did he do? Point number two. We have the promise of God. We have the oath of God. So what did he do? He guaranteed it with an oath. See, your salvation is guaranteed. Holy Spirit, use this right now mightily in someone's life. You who have no assurance, you who have no confidence, you who fret and you're worried and you stay scared all the time that you're going to go to hell. No, my friend, you trust in the Lord Jesus. If you are born again, if you have repented of your sins, if you have a saving faith, I am telling you on the authority of the Word of God today, God has guaranteed your salvation by his own oath. What an assurance. What an assurance. So that by two unchangeable things. Some Bibles say immutable. That's a wonderful doctrine. That's one of the attributes of God. Immutable. Try to say it 10 times real fast. Go ahead. It'd make me feel better. Immutability. It means God doesn't change. Have you had people change in your life? Have you had people walk out on you? Have you had people who you were so close to, but then they changed? God will never change. What guarantee do you and I have that God won't change? Brothers, sisters, he's not a man. He is not like us. He is not, no. That's why God can say with all confidence, he will not change. Mankind will flip-flop. Mankind will change our minds very quickly, will we not? No. God does not change. By these two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. You need to have that underneath your belt. Because see, Satan will tell you crazy things, won't he? He'll tell you God doesn't love you anymore. Oh no, God says he loves me with an everlasting love. And the Bible says it's impossible for him to lie. You need those kind of swords that you can wield the sword of the Spirit against the enemy when he lies to you. Whereas it is impossible for God to lie. Do you know what Jesus said of Satan? Every word he says is a lie. Because he's the father of lies. John 8:44-45. What a contrast. And yet for God, it's impossible for him to lie. That's why you can take every promise of God, you can take it with full assurance. So that we who have fled for refuge, now what's this mean? If you're going to take notes, I want you to note this. There's a beautiful teaching in the Old Testament called the cities of refuge. I can't go into all the details. I wouldn't have time to finish out our text. If you want to go back, I have a sermon I preached actually during COVID. And I believe it's called The Six Cities of Refuge. And you can find that on the Awaken to Grace app. As a matter of fact, I think there's a search bar and you could just search cities of refuge. And I do a deep dive into what that means. So you can go back and check that out. But I just want you to understand, because verse 20 is going to come in to play huge in a moment. I believe what the Holy Spirit is indicating, I believe what he's saying to us, is he's going back to the Old Testament teachings of the six cities of refuge. And let me just, I'll just give you just a 1 minute thing of them. God designed six cities, three on each side of the Jordan. That if someone committed manslaughter, not murder, but manslaughter, they could escape, they could flee to the cities of refuge, and there the loved ones, the family members of the person who was killed could not avenge their blood. They would be safe. They would go, the cities of refuge were high on a hill. And if he made it to the city of refuge, the elders of the city would examine his case. Basically, he would go on trial. And if it was shown, if it was proven that it was manslaughter and it was unintentional, that person could live within the city of refuge without fear. But only until the high priest died. That's going to come into play in a moment. And it is a beautiful picture of how you and I flee for refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is symbolic to the cities of refuge. And again, you can go back and do your own study on the six cities. It's quite fascinating. And how Christ fulfills them in our lives. I found it very interesting. I can't get into all of the prophecy stuff. I just want to note this. I found it so interesting. Did you see the UN meeting in New York this past week? Such a mockery. The world gathered at the UN headquarters at 10 a.m. I don't remember now if it was Wednesday or Thursday. Early that morning, I read Psalm 2. You should read Psalm 2. Oh, as a matter of fact, this will be good homework for next Sunday. Read Psalm 2 and read Psalm 83. Read those two psalms. And in Psalm 2, it talks about why do the nations rage and how the world rulers come against God and his will. And it talks about Christ. Oh, the language is stunning. I'll be honest with you, the language is terrifying for the lost. But do you know what the last verse of Psalm 2 says? It's fascinating. Blessed are all those who take refuge in you. Have you come to Christ for refuge? Blessed are all those who take refuge in you. Now, again, brothers and sisters, what is the point of the book of Hebrews? Here is the point. We who have fled for refuge, might have strong encouragement. Do you know what I love about the word encourage? Tucked into that word is the word courage. When you get encouragement from God, when you get encouragement out of the word, do you know what encouragement does? It gives you courage to go forward in life. Amen? See, Satan wants you to go backward. He wants you to paralyze in fear. He wants you so stressed and so anxious and so fretting and so worried that your faith is just either paralyzed or drifting back. You remember chapter 2? Chapter 3, don't drift. No, God wants you to have courage. And how do you get it? The encouragement of the word. And that's what it says. He wants us to have strong encouragement, to hold fast of the hope that is set before us. And then it says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. I love that. It's sure, it's steadfast. Our anchor is not going to slip. It's not going to break. We're not going to drift away. Let me tell you, we are anchored to Jesus Christ. Amen? Our faith is anchored. And you know what's interesting? You drop an anchor down so that it anchors to the earth. But you know what? Our anchor is upward. It's heavenward. Amen? We are anchored to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great assurity. What a great certainty that just that one phrase is. We have a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. A hope, I love this, that has gone into the inner place, entered into the inner place behind the curtain. What is that, friends? That's the Holy of Holies. That's where the literal presence of the Lord dwelled. Now, this is where verse 20 comes into play so well. Now, remember, what's the Holy Spirit have in mind here? I believe what he has in mind, what he's communicating, are the six cities of refuge. We flee to Christ. So what has God given us as assurance of salvation? His promise, example Abraham. His oath, in which it's impossible for God to lie, and it's guaranteed. And now we see his very Son, Jesus, the anchor of our soul. For look at verse 20. What is our hope that we hold fast to? What is the hope that has entered into the holy place? What is the hope? Verse 20 answers the question. What's the anchor? Verse 20 answers the question. Where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest. Now, what's the imagery? Not one physical human high priest could have been a forerunner. Do you know why? Because no one could follow him into the Holy of Holies. Remember, we talked about that? They would tie a rope to the man's foot with bells on the bottom of his garment so that if he dropped dead, who's going to go get him? They're going to pull his dead body out of there. No one was a forerunner. But do you know the blessedness of this verse? Jesus has passed through the heavens. Haven't we already studied that in Hebrews? He is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He has gone before us as a forerunner on our behalf. And now he is our great high priest, representing God to man and representing man before God. But see, remember what we said about the cities of refuge. You could stay you were safe until the high priest died. What does it say about our high priest in verse 20? Having become a high priest, what? Forever. Our high priest will never die. Amen. He ever lives to make intercession on our behalf, the scriptures say. We'll be there in a few months. We'll study it. Have you fled to Jesus today? He ends this section with after the order of Melchizedek. We'll get into that, Lord willing, in our next phase of our study, chapter 7. But today, I want to ask you, do you have assurance of your salvation? If not, I want to tell you exactly how to get it. Trust God's promise. Trust God's oath, which he's guaranteed. And trust his son, Jesus, who is an anchor for the soul, who is our living and eternal hope, and who is our great high priest. Nowhere in these texts does it say to get assurance of salvation, trust more in yourself. It doesn't say that, does it? Nowhere does it say to get full assurance of salvation, work harder. Earn more grace. Do better. Nowhere does it say that. Nowhere does it say, well, maybe God will and maybe God won't give it to you. No. It doesn't say depending on the mood that God is in. Thank God that God is not moody. I'm the most moody person I know. And that makes me moody. But God isn't moody. Isn't that remarkable? That God isn't moody. He has an unchangeable character. Trust his promise. Trust his oath. Trust his son. And you say, Chad, does God really want to give me assurance? Verse 17, God desires. What a blessed word that is. To show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise. That's you. That's me. If we are in Christ. If you need assurance today, I want you, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. If you need assurance of your salvation, I want you to pray with me right now. You can pray this in your heart. Jesus, I trust. No other but you for salvation. Save me. Forgive me. Cleanse me. I will follow you for the rest of my life. And I make you Lord and Savior. Today I trust your promise. I trust your oath, and I trust your son, Jesus, for the salvation of my soul. And I may doubt myself, but I will never again doubt you. I take hold of full assurance of my salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Take Awakened to Grace with you on the go. When you download Awakened to Grace on your device, you will have access to hundreds of resources we create, all for free. Sermons, music, articles, and more. Download Awakened to Grace wherever you get your favorite apps.